fact, the Supreme Court has looked today into allegations that reporting by some media of the Tablighi Jamaat was used to demonize and blame the entire Muslim community. That was the allegation which was made. It came up in the Supreme Court today. The Supreme Court said that it isn't satisfied with the center's affidavit, and it says that it should consider setting up a regulatory mechanism to deal with such content in the media. The big question, can a government-appointed regulatory body end media hate? What about independent media oversight, which several of us in the media believe is the way forward? But the hard question needs to be asked, has that worked? So the Supreme Court told the center, come up with a regulatory regime for electronic media. The Supreme Court was unhappy with the government's affidavit. The Chief Justice told the center, if no regime exists, create one. The Chief Justice told the center, do not drive us to hand it over to a private agency. Your affidavit does not say what action has been taken to regulate. The Supreme Court has directed the center to file a fresh affidavit on action which is being taken on a regulatory mechanism. The Supreme Court was hearing petitions seeking action against a section of the electronic media for spreading hatred over the Tablighi Jamaat meet in Delhi. Remember, that was something which resulted in a spike in COVID cases. At least that was the allegation which was made. How that was reported, the hate that took place, is what the Supreme Court is looking at. This comes up in about 3 weeks from now again in the court. Joining us now, Jawahar Sarkar, former CEO of Prasar Bharti, Deshratha Nigam, joins us as well. Javed Ansari, the senior editor with us. We're also joined by Dr. S.Y. Qureshi, who was the former Director General of Doordarshan. Mr. Sarkar, let me come to you first. In the media, whether it's the electronic media or elsewhere, there's always been this desperate urge for self-regulation, and there are various bodies which attempt to do that. Is it perhaps time to recognize that there would be constituent members of these various groups who will blatantly flout the rules and believe that they can get away with it because the punishments are not enough?
You see, there is a law in position, and I don't know why the reply is not being prepared accordingly. First of all, as Mr. Qureshi will bear me out, there is an EMMC, Electronic Media Monitoring Center, that looks into every program of some 500 to 700 channels. There's a monitoring going on, number one. Number two, if there's anything offensive, that EMMC can be authorized to sort of report about it. We need a bit of coordination between the NBSA, that's a News Broadcaster Standard Association. As a body, one cannot complain because it has Justice Sikri at the head and there are reputed people on it. Question is, there's a saying that it waits for hints before taking action. Now, this sort of thing can be guarded against by, can be taken care by going in for proper restructuring of the body. Personally, I am doubtful about this government going in for regulation, because another area of human freedom, human expression would be curbed. The Supreme Court is perfectly correct in saying that you must come up and regulate. But what we have not noticed is that in the interim period between the 8th October hearing and the 17th November hearing, they have already gone in for empowering themselves to control online films, online news. They had mentioned in the last hearing that online is a bigger threat than TV. Yes. And the judge had sort of not agreed. The question is, I don't know why are we going around the Cable Networks Act? There's an amendment of the Cable Networks Act introduced in January this year that include, that adds on to from cable to DTH to IPTV to HITS to everything.
Okay. Right? So the legislation exists, is what you're saying.
You have the powers, but I would still urge that that a self-regulatory body under some sort of supervision, oversight, is a better option than a regulatory body under this government.
Would you agree, Mr. Ansari, that the last thing that an independent media needs is a government regulator saying this is okay and this isn't?
Well, certainly, that's the last thing. And the last thing that we need is to wantonly abuse the rights that we've been given and therefore invite trouble for ourselves. If this day dawns upon us, if this situation dawns upon us that there is a government-appointed regulatory body, we will have nobody else but ourselves to blame. Because while we have, you know, I do believe that freedom of expression is sacrosanct, but equally I believe that it comes with responsibility. It is not a free-for-all. It doesn't give me the right as a journalist to abuse, stigmatize, accuse, defame an entire people, an entire community, or to create enmity and hatred amongst communities. I am sorry to say this, and I have now close to 40 years in this profession, that some of us have not discharged our duties or conducted ourselves in a manner that we ought to have. And now that we have this threat looming over ourselves, we have nobody but ourselves to blame. There are honorable exceptions, there are many exceptions, but some of those who flout this do it with great abandon, because they feel that there is nothing to fear and that they will not be held accountable. There has to be some form of accountability. What that form and shape would be, the best would be that if we do it ourselves. But if we don't do it, and if somebody else steps in, then we have nobody else but ourselves to blame.
Deshratha Nigam, that really is the problem. And I'll say it more directly. The advent of the worst form of yellow and tabloid journalism in our country. Journalism that allows people to demonize, to hate, to suspect people without any evidence, to caricature people in the worst possible manner with the belief that, look, we'll get away with it. Who is to decide what is right and what is acceptable and what is unacceptable?
Vishnu, let me be very clear on the subject that there are a lot of channels where they have their own positives and negatives. And I go for content rather than style. Some people say the same thing with a straight face and a smile. Others, you know, say it high decibels. Hindus have been demonized in the past in rape cases. And I was reading a story, investigative story on Al Jazeera, which is from a Muslim country. And they said exactly the same thing about Tablighi Jamaat being super spreaders. And it was a very castigating report. And then the issue would arise when the world is a global village and the foreign media, you can't control the foreign media, and that is viewed in India. And then you have a domestic media where you're trying to control. So issue is, I remember doing, programs on your channel about in 2018, early part of 2018, when this issue had come. And there was a unanimous opinion about self-regulation. Even the Supreme Court was of the view that we will not interfere. So Tablighi Jamaat is just a symbol. It is not about Tablighi Jamaat. It is about demonizing communities. And I have seen both Hindus and Muslims, and in fact, the Sikh communities, where there was a time
But sir, if the Supreme Court today said that they're not satisfied with the response of the center on these very serious allegations of the Tablighi Jamaat being treated in a particular manner by the media. This was an effort at demonizing an entire community, Muslims in India, on the basis of the Tablighi Jamaat being used as an example, right?
See, Tablighi Jamaat. Let me finish, Vishnu. Tablighi Jamaat is, you know, symbolizes a kind of a trend. It is not about Muslims or Tablighi Jamaat. As I said, Hindus were also demonized. So when the regulation comes, it will not be about Hindus or Muslims. Let us be very clear.
The example is about this, sir. And obviously it applies to all faiths. But we are talking about this case as an example of poor journalism.
No, I am saying because the Tablighi Jamaats had gone to the Supreme Court. Hindus did not go to the Supreme Court when they were demonized. So this is not about this thing.
Okay.
What is being said by the Supreme Court is a general proposition of self-regulation versus external regulation.
Okay, Javed Bhai has a point, and before I get to Mr. Qureshi, just 1 second, sir. Javed Bhai, go ahead. Yeah.
Vishnu, my limited point is that the demonization or branding the entire Tablighi Jamaat, or for that matter, the entire Muslim community as being a part of some conspiracies to spread this pandemic in the country, is as absurd as it would be on the part of some people if they would say that, you know, this the manner in which we've thrown caution to the winds prior to Diwali and during Diwali is also a part of a conspiracy. It would be sheer madness. Just as this was madness, even that was unfounded. And some media channels, I'm sorry to say, took a very conscious decision to pursue that line.
Mr. Qureshi, why are we hedging around the fact that a lot of high decibel channels across languages in our country tilt towards a certain brand of journalism because they believe that it is that brand of journalism which will bring them ratings? And the core issue over here is that that system of ratings is broken, and therefore it's a systemic issue.
Yes. Vishnu, I would like to also mention that besides being DG of Doordarshan once upon a time, I was also member of NBSA for 7 years. So I know how exactly it works. And I have been saying that the media is so powerful and any powerful institution must be regulated. Now, what are the possible regulation? One is government, which is a certain no-no. The other is self-regulation, which is very idealistic and it's only possible in theory. The third is independent regulation, which is possible. And NBSA, incidentally, is the fourth model which has accidentally got born. And why I call it the fourth model? Because it is a self-regulator come independent regulator. It is self-regulator in the sense that it is a creation of News Broadcasters Association, NBA. It is a baby of NBA. So it is a self-regulator. And it is an independent regulator because when they approached Justice J.S. Verma, the legendary J.S. Verma, he made it very clear that he will come in as chairman only if they promise that there will be no interference. And I am witness to the fact that for 7 years there was no interference whatsoever. One attempt was made because some of our judgments were going against them and this whole body wanted to meet us basically to reprimand us for giving hostile judgment. And we made it clear that if you want to dictate what kind of judgments you want, so please, we are packing up, we are going. So right. They backed up. No. This is not what we mean. They let it be independent. Now its composition, unlike the press council, its composition is also very good. There are four independent members. I was one of them. And there are four editors. So they bring in the media perspective. And with a judge of the Supreme Court chairing it, it's doing its job very well. What is its limitation? Number one, all we could do was a fine of 1 lakh. And more than that fine of 1 lakh, they were scared of the penalty of having to broadcast an apology at prime time and repeatedly. That is what they hated. But that was the fear we were able to put into them. Now, one limitation was that our discipline was confined only to the members.
Yes.
The rogue members and who were the ones we are talking about, they if our judgment was going against them, they would leave the association.
Exactly. They would form their own one. And then they would do whatever they wanted and they continue to do that.
Exactly. So that is where we have been suggesting that is where the government can come in. To empower the NBSA, this is a very beautiful model in principle. And how can it empower one?
Okay. All right. So one moment, Dr. Qureshi. I just want to, because I'm running short on time, we'll also go across to Geeta Luthra, the senior advocate who joins us. Is there a problem of a lack of rules in this country which can actually result in action being taken against hate in the electronic media or in the media? Or is it about... The rules existing, but people believing that they can get away by breaking the rules?
See, I think the law is sufficiently in place. See, originally, intermediaries were not completely protected. Then we saw that intermediaries were getting into trouble, that Bazi.com case and other cases. And then the law was amended, Section 79 of the IT Act. Now, in that sense, there is a watchdog and the court, there are rules which say that within 36 hours, there are parameters, there are words which have, and then you have to take the language off your portal. Now, what has to be a care which needs to be taken care of is the fact that on one hand, you don't infringe on freedom of speech and expression. And on the other hand, you have to ensure that there are not hate speeches and in, you know, language used or expressions used, which in the US has been called low-level speech. So basically, we have to make a balance between what is low-value speech and high-value speech. And we have to ensure that high-value speech, there should be no restriction. Now, according to me, to some extent, if media itself doesn't control itself, which should be the way to go, then the courts should lay down certain guidelines. I don't think we can ask the government to be doing it necessarily. They could, but they have toothless bodies which are not doing anything.
Right.
And at the same time, you don't want there to be an overreach. The chance of overreach by government is very high.
Okay, ma'am. One sec. Deshratha Nigam had a point. Yes.
See, let me tell you, I generally am not in favor of the courts laying down the guidelines. This is a very important public issue, whether there should be an internal mechanism, self-regulation, or the external control. This should be discussed in parliament. Let the parliament decide it. Then you will have its acceptance and the people will, you know, actually accept it. Even the channels will probably will fall in line, those who do not, follow the guidelines which already exist. So I generally, this is a legislative function or at best executive function, not a judicial function. So I think Supreme Court should, you know, request the parliament to take this issue and discuss it threadbare as and when the parliament meets. But to have that kind of a say that I will give it to an external agency to monitor it, that would be entering the legislative domain. And I don't agree to that.
All right. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us this evening. It's a huge issue on media independence versus what the government can or should do, perhaps not do, because that's not what an ideal step forward is. But at a time when there is blatant hate on our media, on our electronic media, certain hard questions need to be answered. Who is going to regulate? Are the independent regulators strong enough? Should the government have a role? And should there be bigger fines? Should there be a value, perhaps by advertisers, on quality content versus low-level content? Who decides that? Who's going to encourage advertisers? In so many ways, the electronic media in our country is in an absolute mess. We'll take a short break. More coming up.